Good morning.
Good morning
and Merry Christmas. Follow the order of worship as you find it printed in your service bulletin this morning. Please note that all the hymns numbers are listed in your bulletin, and there are quite a few carols that we'll be singing to the Christ child on this happy Christmas morning. Feel free at any time to hum along or to sing along in your heart. Some of the carols maybe a little bit long, but we love to sing and rejoice and to make melody in our hearts to the Christ child. And I'll announce the hymns as we go through the service. Let us open our service with prayer and the invocation. Gracious Father, we thank you for remembering your promise and sending your Son, our Savior. On this Christmas morning, we join with our fellow believers to celebrate his wondrous birth as we hear once more the marvelous news that Jesus was born to redeem us, strengthen our faith, fill our hearts with your peace. May all that we do this Christmas, every gift we give, every greeting we speak, and every present we're led to share with others graciously reflect the love that you've shown to us. Bless us now in our Christmas worship together. For Jesus' sake, amen. I invite you to rise. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, born at Bethlehem to be our Savior. We pray that the Spirit of God will be with us as we worship the Lord on this Christmas day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing hymn 386, stanzas 1 and 2. You may be seated. Once again, I invite you to rise. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall show forth your praise.
Unto us the Christ is born.
O come, let us worship
him. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
Great things for me.
Know that the Lord, He is God. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name.
He has shown strength with His heart.
He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to His seed forever. We confess our sins together in the responsive reading. I cry to you for help, O Lord.
And the Lord shall my prayer come before you.
Let my mouth be filled with your praise.
And with your
glory. O Lord, hide your face from my sins.
And blot out
all my iniquities. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me by your generous spirit.
You may remain standing for the next hymn, hymn 360, and the stanzas are printed in your bulletin. Our first lesson on this Christmas Day morning are selected verses from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Our next reading today is the Christmas story as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far, the lesson from Luke. Let's join now in the confession of faith. I invite you to rise. This is Martin Luther's explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Hymn 380, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Might you rise? Grace, mercy, and peace of the blessed Bethlehem Christ child, our Savior, abide with you all. Our message today will consist of a number of histories of very familiar Christmas carols. The histories to be shared have been adapted and rewritten from information contained in the booklet Silent Night, the stories behind 40 beloved Christmas carols, from the handbook to the Lutheran hymnal, and from various online sources. You may now be seated. We ask our blessing upon our Christmas meditation, the Lord's blessing. The first carol is Away in a Manger. The popular carol, Away in a Manger, sometimes mistakenly attributed to authorship by Martin Luther, there's really no evidence of that, was first published in the late 19th century. It gained popularity in America through various publications, with its first known appearance in a Boston newspaper in 1882. 3 years later, it appeared in the Lutheran Sunday school book, Little Children's Book for Schools and Families. 2 years later, it popped up again in another songbook for children, Dainty Songs for Little Lads and Lasses. Ever since, it's been a much-loved part of festive Christmas celebrations, especially with children. The Bible truth presented in Away in a Manger is simple yet profound. The Almighty Lord of all was once a child who needed to be cared for. The helpless infant resting peacefully in a manger of hay under a starry sky is God's Son. He has emptied himself of the full use of his divine majesty so that he might serve us in lowliness and so that we, through his Savior work, might be brought near to him, stay close by him forever, and live with him eternally in heaven's bliss. Let's now sing hymn 364, Away in a Manger. In 1865, a priest named Philip Brooks of Philadelphia paid a visit to the Holy Land. Journeying on horseback from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, he stopped for the night on the brow of a hill overlooking that tiny village. Bethlehem looked vastly different in 1865 from how it had looked in Jesus' time. But Brooks was struck by the fact that this is the very place where the everlasting Lord chose in love to be born on earth in human form for the salvation of mankind. Not long afterward, Brooks was inspired to write a poem for Christmas, which he showed to church organist Louis Redner. Legend has it that Redner then undertook to write a tune for this poem, O Little Town of Bethlehem, on Christmas Eve. The Sunday school choir sang it for the first time the next day at church. Brooks and Redner thought that it would be a short-lived song, sung perhaps only that year, but it has stood the test of time and endured now for over 150 years, remaining a staple in Christmas celebrations. The lyrics convey themes of hope and peace which the Christ child brought to a world languishing in sin. The little town Bethlehem has undergone many changes over the centuries and will continue to change as with the rest of our world. What has not changed is that God's promise that where meek souls look in humble faith to the baby born at Bethlehem, he gladly enters in to bestow his gifts of forgiveness and everlasting hope and joy. Many years have passed since the birth of our Lord Emmanuel. Christmas's true meaning remains the same. Let's sing about it now in Philip Brooks's carol, hymn 361.
Thank you.
The traditional English carol, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, is one of the oldest still sung today. It too is known for its uplifting gospel message centered around the holy birth of Christ. You may be surprised to hear that there are no merry gentlemen at all referenced in this carol, unless we count the people who originally sang it. The gentlemen who are mentioned in the carol were very likely dressed in nightshirts and nightcaps, ready to doze off to sleep in their homes. The comma between Mary and gentlemen shows that the thought intended to be conveyed in this carol is that God desires that through the message of Christmas, our rest be merry. The authors of this song of redemption are unknown. Tradition has it that they were watchmen who were hired by burghers, local burghers, to guard their town during the holiday season. Their job responsibility involved patrolling the nighttime streets with a lamp, and they would announce on the hour, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and all is well. And at some point, perhaps overcome by the Christmas spirit, they seemed to have started singing, reminding their cozy, snug-in-bed patrons of God's faithfulness in sending the world a Redeemer that they might be saved through faith in Him. Let everyone entrust their night of sleep to the Lord, was their message. The knowledge that He gave you a Savior to deliver you from Satan's power should make you rest very easy. The tune for God Rest You Merry Gentlemen was published in 1829, but was likely sung centuries before. The lyrics were born on the streets of an unknown English town of the 15th century. Those unknown believers, those watchmen who took the news of Christ's birth out into the frosty streets with their happy Christmas song, may have been the very first carolers. If they could have foreseen how popular singing carols of praise to God would become, they probably would have been very merry gentlemen indeed. So let's sing the carol. It's one of those printed on your insert, and the pastor will sing stanza one, and then we'll alternate for the four stanzas of this carol. God rest you, Mary.
God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior, the true and radiant light, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. Sing praises, all you within this place, and in true love and fellowship each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas is filled with heavenly grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Infant Holy, Infant Lowly is a brief carol that sums up the stark contrasts in the life of Christ. On the one hand, he is the eternal, all-magnificent Lord of all. On the other hand, he is at one and the same time the lowly and poor servant of all. Originally, a Polish hymn called Wzlobi Lezi, or He Lies in a Cradle, this carol was the work of a 16th century priest. Centuries later, in 1920, it was translated into English by the British musician and playwright Edith Reed, who renamed it under its present title. Edith Reed also wrote mystery or miracle plays about the birth of Christ, exploring the mystery of God becoming man. And in her English translation, she leaves listeners in no doubt that even though this child was born in the meanest of circumstances, with a cattle stall for a bed, in the company of lowing oxen, he was and is the exalted Lord of all. His lowly birth was announced by swiftly winging angels sent of God. But though the Creator condescended in love to become part of his own creation to save the whole world of sinners, he came to rescue each sinner individually. Christ the babe was born for you. We sing this carol, 393.
Thank you.
Our next carol, Angels We Have Heard on High. This Christmas carol was originally a French tune, Les Angelus Dans Nos Campagnes, which translates The Angels in Our Countryside. The angels in question weren't in any European countryside, of course, though they did appear in the hills around Bethlehem when they announced their glorious news to the shepherds abiding in the fields. Legend has it that French shepherds took the Christmas story to heart and sang it on the French hills. Perhaps it was purely for the joy of worship, perhaps simply as a way of letting shepherds on the other side of the valley know they weren't alone. At any rate, it's a simple, joyous recounting of that famous angelic visit on the night of our Savior's birth, when Bethlehem's hills resounded with the angel chorus, and when the shepherds shared the good news of the Savior with the world. And if people, when they asked what all the hubbub was all about, the shepherds replied, "Come to Bethlehem and see. See the one whose birth has just been announced by heavenly angels." It was in 1862 that an Anglo-Irish priest, James Chadwick, translated the traditional French carol into the words that we sing today. Just as God did not hesitate to become man, so let us not hesitate to sing that song of the angels. When it comes to singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which is Latin for Glory be to God on high, all you need is what those French shepherds had, a heart thankful to God for his grace in sending you a Savior, a mouth eager to show forth his praise, and a good strong pair of lungs for all those glorious. Let's sing it together now, those three stanzas, hymn 368. Silent Night has become one of the most cherished of Christmas carols. Regarding its origin, it was composed by a pastor, Joseph Moore, for the Christmas Day celebration of his church at Oberndorf, Austria in 1818. The music is thought to have been first played on a guitar in Pastor Moore's study. According to one account, Pastor Moore was called one Christmas Eve to the hut of a wood chopper whose wife had just given birth to a child. After ministering to the family, having been face to face with the mystery of life, he returned through snowdrifts to his home and began to write a poem. When he was finished, at 4 in the morning, sleeping a few hours, he then arose at 9 a.m. and hurried to the home of his friend Franz Gruber, an organist and schoolteacher at the nearby village of Amsdorf. Pastor Moore shared the text of his poem with his friend Franz and then returned home. And later that same day, Franz came to Pastor Moore's home with music put to his poem's lyrics. And since the organ in the pastor's study wasn't working properly, Gruber took a guitar that was hanging on the wall, strummed through the music once. They then joined their voices together in singing it through. And since it was only a half hour before the Christmas Day service, when it was set to begin, Pastor Moore quickly assembled a church choir. Teacher Gruber sang it through the tune once and followed by the choir members together. And by the time the congregants had filled the church on Christmas Day morning, they were ready to give it to the world. Pastor Moore's original Silent Night poem actually consisted of more verses than the three we're accustomed to singing. This morning, let us sing all the stanzas originally composed by the author. It's on your insert. And the pastor will sing, again, we'll alternate again, the pastor singing the first stanza and then alternating.
Silent night, holy night, brings to earth saving light, grace fulfilled to us given. From the golden heights of heaven comes in lowly birth, comes in lowly birth. Silent night, holy night, shows to each God's great might. Love descends from heaven above, dwells with us in brotherly love. Hail by nations afar, hail by nations afar. Silent night, holy night, grants us grace from sin's plight, stills God's wrath as was foretold by his prophets in days of old. Peace, goodwill to all men. Peace, goodwill to all men. Silent night, silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glories stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, of God love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of
the author of the carol, As With Gladness Men of Old, William Chatterton Dix, came from an uneducated literary English family. I should say an educated literary English family, but that did not mean that they could provide a life of leisure for their children. As soon as Dix was old enough, he took a job at a very young age at a Glasgow-based marine insurance company. Hardly the most creative of environments. Perhaps the monotonous nature of his work contributed to periods of illness and depression for William Dix, which he suffered. Yet amazingly, these times seemed to be his most creative. And what energies he had went into writing hymns, including What Child Is This? And As With Gladness, Men of Old. In the midst of his emotional and physical darkness, sick in bed on the day of Epiphany, Dix recalled a people and a world who had once been walking in darkness without hope, but who had seen a great light. He visualized the joy of those men of old, the Magi, when God provided them with guidance spiritually into the realization that the King of Kings had been born and what this meant for humankind, and then when God guided them by means of a very special star to their Savior. Just as gladly as they followed that star to Jesus and rejoiced in him, Dix wrote, so should we in our day. As they humbly bent the knee before the Christ child and presented to him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so still should we offer him the gifts of our love, gratitude, and praise, gifts which are viewed by Jesus as very, very precious. The carol ends with a prayer to keep us in the narrow way, that is, on the path that leads into the Lord's heavenly presence. When we reach the place where Jesus will outshine the brightest star, and we will sing our Alleluias to him face to face in person. Almost 19 centuries after the birth of Christ, Dix reminded his contemporaries the gift of a Messiah is no less wondrous than when it happened. It was a gift that shone through the centuries, shone through Dix's illnesses, and continues to shine from the words of Holy Scripture into our hearts today, brightening up our earthly path. More than a century after William Dix's death, we have no less reason to be glad than did those men of old. And they were very glad indeed. We sing then the last of the seven carols, hymn 397. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Christmas day to praise you for the wonderful gift you've given to us in our newborn Savior. How great is your mercy and amazing your love. Forgive our transgressions and all the sins which have made us unworthy of your loving kindness. Remove from our hearts the many temptations and distractions that could rob us of the abiding blessings of the Christmas gospel. Fix our thoughts upon the heavenly joys which are ours in the Christ child. Like Mary, may we treasure up all these things and ponder them in our hearts. Like the shepherds, after having worshipped the newborn king, may we return to our respective callings in life, praising you and spreading the word about the things we have heard and seen. May this be for us not merely a holiday, but a holy day, enduing us with grace and blessings which we may carry with us not only through this festive season, but also out across the threshold of the new year. May we embrace the Christ child in the arms of faith throughout the days of our earthly pilgrimage, evermore praising and serving him until, in your mercy, we join the great angelic chorus and sing eternal hallelujahs to your holy name through endless ages. We ask it in the name of the Christ child, whom you have given to us. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide with you all. Amen. The closing hymn stanzas. You may be seated.